Thank you, God, you guys, for, you know, coming out and listening to me. Hope I make perfect sense today. But I'm going to let the Word of God speak. And you know me, I use tons of scriptures. I'm not going to tell you to turn to them, but Euro will flash them on the screen if you want to write them down. But I try to let the scriptures speak and not my opinion and what not what I know, but I throw in there a little bit of experience. So in keeping, let me pray first. Bring the nervousness down. Great God in heaven, thank you, God, for, like Khadijah said, being our king. Thank you for not only being our king, but stooping down and loving us, even though we're imperfect people. Thank you, God, for overlooking that imperfectness and really looking at us as holy people. Help us to see ourselves in that way. Help us to be confident that we have a God that stood up for us, that came to earth and died for us, that we can have a relationship with him. The King, Majesty, Lord, we thank you, God. Pray your word be preached today and not my word. Pray your spirit be with me at this time. And pray, God, that our hearts and our ears are attentive to your word. Overlook my flaws or things that I may say wrong or pronounce word wrong. Forgive us, God, for our sins. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in keeping with, or pretty much keeping in line with our 2023 theme, which is rebuild, restore, and renew. Let me start my timer. We believe that as followers of Christ, the most important relationship that we have is with God, our relationship with God. From time to time, we stray. Other relationships become important. You know, other things take priority. You know, Khadijah also mentioned, Khadijah also mentioned distraction. We're so distracted in this world. Not like the old days when, you know, you lived out there in no man's land and you had a camel, a couple of goat sheeps. There was no internet, you know. Stories were told and you paid attention. That's all you could do. You couldn't go nowhere like you go to Disneyland or something. And when you learn that way. But now we're so distracted. You know, we can be like the Israelites. You know, even though they shouldn't have been distracted, you know, they had a tendency to go back in their old way of life. Just drift back and forget about God. And God takes time to go after them and build a relationship back with them and forgive them. You know, it started with Adam and Eve, you know. They sinned in a garden, and what did they do? They went to hide. And what did God do? He came looking for them. And that's pretty much our life, you know. When we're not feeling good about ourselves, what we do? We hide, you know, or we don't come out to church. You know, we don't go to Bible talk. We don't answer phone calls or respond, you know. But God is always trying to bring us back. We feel disconnected from God, from his words at times. You know, when I'm not close to God, you know, my spiritual activities, including doing the tech, it just seemed like a chore. And I got to consistently remind myself, you know, get excited. Who am I doing this for? You know, I feel like it's work. You know, let me go to work and clock in and give God 15 minutes. No overtime, just 15 minutes. You know, I got a lot of stuff to do. You know, I often say, I'll take care of this. Let me take care of this now, and I'll go read later. And then later becomes night, and then I forget, or I'm tired, and I go to bed. Those are just, that's just life. But then you have Satan, who is also busy using the tools and his arsenal to draw us away from God and distract us. You know, God give mankind wisdom and, you know, be able to be creative. And Satan finds a way to use it. A perfect example is the internet. You know, the internet was created for good. I don't think what we do on the internet now, that's not what the internet was really created for. But that's a perfect example. You know, people can hear God's word all over the world. You know, Zoom didn't stop us from hearing God's word, right? We use the internet. But COVID didn't stop us. But the fact is, corruption is done on the internet. You can buy firearms on the internet. You can learn how to make a pipe bomb on the internet. Pornography, bullying, fraud. Everything created good later become utilized for distraction. And it's difficult to stay focused on our God, His majesty. We must rebuild our relationship with Him continually and constantly. The Bible said we need to add to our faith in increasing measures, increasing measures. So today, we're going to try to focus on the majesty of God. You know, with all the distractions, we're going to try to study out God's character. We want to be more faithful like God. We've already looked at God being a jealous God. You know, that was a good study because, you know, you think about jealous, hey, that's a bad thing, but it's not. Last Sunday, we looked at the faithfulness of God, and today we're going to study out the majesty of God. I believe if we truly understand who God is, it's less likely that we're going to take Him for granted. Mankind is always looking for something or someone to look up to or admire, to be inspired by. But we have God. You know, the Israelites said, hey, we want a king. You know, get us a king. That's what they, who they told that to? Samuel? We want a king. And who'd they get? Saul. I would have stayed with God. But they wanted a king. They want somebody to look up to, somebody to inspire them. And, you know, that's probably why they created idols. But we are made in the image of God. You know, when my son was little, you know, little, he used to say, my daddy is awesome. He can fix anything. You know, he's not afraid of anything. He protects me. He gives me whatever I want, and He plays at me. That was then. Now it's like, you're all right, Dad. You're all right. You know, that's how we treat God. When you first get back baptized, you're excited. God is your life, everything. You're reading your Bible. You're praying. You're talking to people about God. After a couple of years, you're like, God's all right. I know God. Right? My son thought all the great things about me until, you know, we all grow up and we all learn some things, and then we become independent. Yeah, independence can be another way of saying, now I got distracted. You know? I got this, Dad. And that's what we say to God. I got this. You know, I don't need to pray. I got this. I run out of the house every morning to tackle life, you know, tackle the crazy people out there. I got this. You know, our admiration of God is lowered as our thought of ourself is heightened. And that's a bad thing. That's why we have to renew our thinking of who we serve and why we are here. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 11:4, it says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observed everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. His majesty is watching from his throne." You know, the dictionary says majesty is best quality, adornment, noble, honor, or splendor. You know, in the Bible, it's talked about the word which the Bible uses is express the thought of greatness of God, our maker, or our Lord. Everything about that I just read justify God, his greatness, his majesty, splendor. That's our God. Psalm 93:1 says it even better. It says, "The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity." Now, it's kind of hard to visualize that, you know? We can't see God, but we have seen pictures of earthly kings on their throne. No comparison. But we've seen and we've read about Jesus. We're able to see who God is through Jesus. We read about the miracles he performed, like raising the dead. No earthly king ever raised the dead. You know, Peter had an encounter with God. Not necessarily God, but the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, you know, on the Mount of Transfiguration. Later on, he wrote about it. It says, "We did not follow clever, devised story when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitness to his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majesty, a majestic glory, saying, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain." Jesus is the exact representation of God. So when we read about Jesus in the gospel, we're seeing God. Peter says, "We were eyewitness to his majesty. He saw Jesus, or he saw in Jesus, the majesty of God." And that changed Peter's life. We hope that you guys can gaze upon the majesty of God today, so it would change your outlook of God. You know, the scripture that we're using is in Isaiah 40, and you can turn there, and it's very long. I hate to read. Bear with me. Isaiah 40, we're going to go 1 to 31. And it says, "Comfort, comfort, my people, say your Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard work, her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord, from the Lord's hand, double for her sin. A voice calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare a way for the Lord. Keep straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become leveled. The rugged places are plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness are like the flowers of the field. The flower wither and the grass wither and the flower falls, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are like grass. The grass wither and the flower fall, but the word of the Lord, the word of God, endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on the high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid, say the town of Judah. Here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and with the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountain on a scale and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Who did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on a scale. He weighs the island as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fire, nor is animals enough for burnt offering. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom, then, will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker cast it, and a goldsmith overlay it with gold and fashion silver chain on it for it. A person too poor to present such an offering select wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was formed? He sits a throne above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heaven like a canopy and spread them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown. No sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and the whirlwind sweep them away like a shaft. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Said the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heaven. Who created all these things? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them forth, each of them by name. Because of his great powers and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is discarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the end of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary. The young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Whew. Now, that could be a whole quiet time, not no 5-minute quiet time. But when you read that, that's God. That's our God. That's his majesty. Pretty much, I don't even have to say anything more. Let me go. But that's some great stuff. It's not just saying who God is, but who I am to God and what he thinks about me. God, my first point, God's majesty is seen through his creation. You know, in 40 verse 12, it says, who has measured the water in the hollows of his hand, or with the breath of his hand marked out off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountain on a scale and the hills in a balance? You know, as human beings, God's creation cannot live outside the earth. You know, all that, you know, creation. It's so funny, we're restricted to the earth, right? Who created that limit? God. You know, in Genesis says God created a vault, you know, to separate all that stuff. You know, we're limited. But God is inside, outside, he's everywhere. Well, our planet, if you look at it, looks nice and pretty now from afar. But if you go to the next slide, you know, looks like we're alone, right? But then you got, there's a lot of planets in our solar system. And it looks small on paper, but go to the next slide. If you really look, that's us. That is us. And our God created all that. I'm like, wait a minute. What's out there? Did God just create this stuff for us to look into at night? Like, oh, look at the skies. Woo, looks so beautiful. Or, you know, if you ever read what story with the rich man and Lazarus, where Jesus said there's a chasm? You know, suppose there's just a curtain. God pulled a curtain and there's heaven right behind it. You know, our mind can't fathom. We just can't. You know, when we look at our universe, even if we could travel at the speed of light, I'm not talking about, you know, the speed of sound, the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, not hour, 186,000 miles per second, it would take you about 25,000 years to reach the middle of that. 25,000 years. We serve a big God. I just can't imagine it. My body would probably fall apart if they pushed me that fast. There are about 48 galaxies like that one. I mean, just to think of it, You know, it humbles you. You know, the universe and the galaxy and the system, it's just a vast system that we cannot fully comprehend. And the psalmist kind of says in 19:1, it says, the heaven declares the glory of God. The sky proclaims the work of his hand. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice go out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. I mean, when you look at the heavens, it's talking to you without talking. It's really telling you, look at this. Can you create this? Your God created this. That's our God. You know, do you think about those things? Too lofty for your mind? You know, the Bible says, you know, knowledge too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. That's one of them right there. Yet God speaks these things into existence. Wasn't no craftsman molding anything. God speaks and things come to fruition. You know, Romans 1:20, it says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. What excuse would you have to say, you know, okay, you guys know about the Big Bang, right? Oh, it's the Big Bang. That's how it all started. Who lit the fuse? That's what I'm saying. How did the bang just bang by itself? Somebody had to light the fuse. What about us? God is so magnificent. He created this magnificent universe, this awesome earth that mankind has carved up. This is mine, that's mine, that's mine. You can't even go to a beach. Somebody owns it. I go to Jamaica and I'm like, oh, nice beaches. Nope, you can't come here. That belongs to the hotel. We have carved up what they're ready to carve up the universe. Everybody's flying out there. All the rich guys are building spacecraft now. What about us? We are his creation as well. God created male and female. You know, Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know it. I know that full well. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's how God thinks of us. You know, we are made in his image, in his likeness. You know, we're able to reflect God's character, his love, his patience, his forgiveness, his kindness, his faithfulness. You know, we can create, we can innovate, we can invent. We're created like God. We just don't act like him. My second point, God's majesty is seen through his knowledge. You know, in verse 14, it says, who did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? As humans, we have become very knowledgeable. We figured out some stuff, technology, medicine, physics. This knowledge have puffed us up and diminished God, you know? In 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says, you know, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up. Human beings are forever exploring. You know, David Dobb in National Geographic magazine, he said, the compulsion to see what lies beyond the ridge or the ocean of this planet is a defining part of human identity and success. We have to know everything. We have to see for ourselves to believe. When we do see, what do? We claim the knowledge. I did it. I discovered it, not God. I applaud the efforts, you know, of exploration, but at least give God the credit. God, His majesty is seen through His powers. I'm running a little behind there, but that's my third and last point. God's majesty is seen through His powers. And throughout the Bible, you see that. When we think of God, we should be in awe. We should feel lowly, humble, you know, because He's so magnificent. Think about the people in the Bible who saw God or came in contact with God. Isaiah said, "Woe to me." That was his response. "Woe to me, I cry. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Jake in Job, actually Job in Genesis 32, 30, it says, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." He was a different man after that. That was his encounter. Even Moses had one. Exodus 33:20 says, "But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." That's how powerful God is. You've seen lightning, right? You don't want to go nowhere near that. Right? You heard thunder. I mean, it can be loud. And sometimes you hear the Bible talked about God speaks and it sounds like thunder. God is not hiding from us. We know God is spirit, but we are finite, mortally imperfect. We cannot exist and see God as He is. The Israelites knew this, but yet He had a personal relationship with Moses. He protected them. I'm going to jump around a little bit for time's sake. But how should Christians respond to the majesty of God? That's what we got to really look at. How should we respond? Even though God is this magnificent, majestic being, all-powerful and all-knowing, when I read about Jesus, why wouldn't I want to draw near God? You know, Exodus 34:6 says, "The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abundant in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin." I want that. I need that, actually. But can I portray that to people outside or other people, that even strangers? Can I be like that? Maintaining love to thousands? Not the guy that cut me off yesterday. We should be drawn to worship God. We really should be. But the word distraction. God created the heavens to distract us. We don't even look at that no more. Sometimes other things take more priority, our jobs, family, careers, relationship. We're also drawn to people and things on earth that has no power and sometimes no benefit in life. Just a waste of time. And I'm not picking on anything in general. I mean, just throwing stuff out there, you know, like sports, reality shows, our favorite artists, our favorite actor, the internet, stuff online. I'm not saying it's sin. It can be debauchery. It depends on how much time you spend on it. You gave God 15 minutes of quiet time, and you were on the internet for 4 hours. Remember, we serve a jealous God. I feel guilty sometimes. I go to bed, and I'm like, oh, man, I've been playing music for like 5 hours. I didn't have a quiet time today. I didn't even pray. I feel so guilty. And then the next day, I forget to do the same thing again. We're no different than the Israelites, you know? That's why renew, restore, consistently, an increase in measures. Those words got to stick in your mind, like, let me get back to things. Let me get back to what's important. Because you would just get dragged away. The Bible says enticed by other things. You know, the Bible says in Acts 17:27, they would seek him and perhaps find him. You know? And that's what we got to do. We got to continually seek God. He's always there. But are you there? You know? Are you Adam and Eve in the garden? God got to be looking for you. You know, Matthew 18:20 says, for where two are gathered in my name, there I'm with them. That's why we meet as a church. That's one of the reasons, right? God is among us. You know, we should be inspired to trust and obey God. You know, Sean mentioned last week, his promises are true. He cannot lie. We just have to believe and obey. You know, God said he will be with us to the very end of the age. We believe that? He said, no one will pluck you out of my hand. That's a good feeling. It's like when you're being persecuted, you could just say, hey, okay, talk all you want, but you ain't getting me away from God, because God got me, you know? He holds the key to life and death. As much as we're all afraid to die, I'm afraid to die, you know, at times. And sometimes I'm like, I'm just tired. Time to go, God. But then I retract it real quick. I'm sorry, God, I didn't mean that one. I got to go to work. But he said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. He said, if we love one another, other people will believe in him and come and follow him. We should be zealous to speak about God. You know, I'm always excited to share good news of myself, but not so zealous about, you know, sharing God. I feel like the world is so into themselves today, like I was before I was a Christian. God knows there are people out there to be saved. He knows that. As much as I feel like nobody wants to be saved, everybody's into themselves, it's selfie, selfie, selfie. Everybody wants to be a God. But who am I? I don't see all the hearts in the world, but God do. He wants all man to be saved. So who am I? How do we get up in the morning zealous? I know I get up in the morning, I'm tired, I gotta go to work. That's why some of us need a quiet time, including me. Get up all grumpy in the morning, forget that our daddy is king of kings, and walk like a prince or a princess. He controls the day and the night. You can plan your day, but if God ain't with it, I'm sorry. People go out every day and don't come back. They end up at the morgue. God controls the day and the night. Maybe we need to pray this prayer. And I found this scripture, and I'm like, wow, that's a good prayer. I'm going to write that down right over my desk, put it on the refrigerator, put it over my bedhead so I don't forget. 1 Chronicles 29:11. It says, yours, God, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hand are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. That's a morning prayer right there. I give God all the glory. The reason I'm able to get up and walk and drive and work, it's all God. So, I'm hoping you guys were enlightened and you see God more clearly as the majesty of God. At this time, we're going to take communion, and I'm going to read Colossians 1:15. But just reflect who our God is. He's not an earthly king. The earth cannot contain him. The universe cannot contain him. You saw what it looked like. You saw the distance, right? In Colossians 1:15, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether throned or power or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. At this time, we're going to pray for communion. Great God in heaven, there is not much to say beside what you have written in your scriptures. We are powerless when it comes to you. We are hopeless. That's why we put our hope in you. That's why we put our faith in you. That's why we praise you. That's why we picture you on the throne. The earth is your footstool, but yet you are so mindful of human beings. that you want all men to be saved. And God, we thank you for the Israelites didn't get the big picture, but for us, God, you sent your son, and you made sure that it was written down that we may know who you are and the sacrifice your son made, and to give us your Holy Spirit to remind us, to help us, to counsel us. God, we thank you for all that you have created, all that you have done. We thank you for our lives, that we're still here. We have an opportunity to continue to grow and be more faithful and to love one another so people may know that we are your disciples, that we belong to you, and they can have the same relationship with you. God, forgive us for our sins as we take communion. We love you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't have a cup at this time, just raise your hand.